Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
When I come across something I love, I cannot wait to share it with you guys. And that's exactly how I felt when I discovered the work of my guest today, best-selling author Brianna Wiest. In fact, I loved her most recent book so much, it's called The Pivot Year, that I even gave it to my colleagues here today for the holidays. It was one of those things I just could not keep to myself, and I wanted everybody to feel the way the book made me feel. Now, if you know me, you know I love an inspirational quote. I truly believe in the power of these uplifting words to touch our souls and to make us think and to change the trajectory of the day ahead. And that is just what Brianna's words do. Brianna began her career sharing her creative writing, and no matter what journey you may be on in life, I guarantee you, you're going to find meaning in her writing. Our conversation touched my soul, and now, like all the things I love, I cannot wait to share it with you. I'm Hoda Kotb. Welcome to my podcast, Making Space. I am so excited to be sitting here with you, Brianna. Your book, The Pivot Year, was so incredibly life-changing. And I have to confess something to you, if it's okay. So I heard a woman named Lynn Twist quote your book. And she said, I'm going to read you a passage from this book. And it was so profound and moving that I'm actually going to look it up as we talk. But it was so profound and moving to me that I was like, I've got to find out who this person is. After listening to what Lynn said, I assumed you were probably 90 years old or something, because I thought, who can be that wise and also, you know, be just to be that, have that much wisdom, you have to be an older person. You're the opposite of that. How old are you?
31.
You're 31. You're like, oh my gosh. But you were able to find this wisdom somehow. How did you?
You know, it's so crazy because I get that question.
You must.
Semi-often. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't, you know, it came from some combination of my brain and my heart and my life. But it, you know, it really came from feeling a mix of wanting to go inward and, you know, find myself more deeply, and also a calling, feeling like I was meant to create something or share something. I don't really know.
You don't know. Well, it's in you. And let me just read what she said. Oh, wait, is this the one? Hold on. There's so many good ones that everyone, oh no, here it is. No, that's not it. Hold on. By the way, don't look at my Instagram feed. It's all you. That's really what it is. It's all you. So this is the one, and there are so many. Here we go. I hope you allow your life to be bigger than you ever thought it could be. I hope you allow yourself to embody more beauty than you ever thought possible. I hope you don't get trapped by the small stories, the little ideas you had about what the future may be. I hope you don't long for the things you've outgrown just because they're familiar. Oh, wow, that hit me. I hope you don't consider everything you've lost to be a loss. I hope you don't define yourself only by the limits of what you have known. I hope you do not cap your potential at what others have said is possible. And most of all, I hope you recognize the light when it hits you. I hope you let yourself do more than you ever thought you could. When I heard Lynn Twist read those words aloud, it moved me so deeply, because I think we all put our own little cage around us and we think, well, we're safe here and this is where we're meant to be and this is my comfort zone. And you in your life have stepped out of your comfort zone many times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Finding the courage to do that. How did you? Let's go back. So you were, I met your mom. She's a lovely human being. She's got two pom-poms. She's a cheerleader like my mom. So what was it like in your life when you were little?
When I was little, I think I was a creative kid, but mostly just pretty normal.
Normal kid. Describe your childhood bedroom.
My childhood bedroom? Yes. Oh my gosh, I've never gotten this question before. It was pink and sponge painted.
Okay.
I remember this. Tons of books. I didn't have a TV.
Oh.
And I used to fall asleep reading every night.
Oh.
And there are all these pictures of me when I was little falling asleep, like having fallen asleep, holding a book.
That's very telling.
I've never thought about this before, but now that I think back on it, yeah, you're right.
You were already just
I never even pieced these things together.
What was on the wall?
Well, a Britney Spears poster.
Of course. How could there not be? You had to. That was your era. So Britney, anything else?
A Britney Spears poster. And I specifically remember some kind of beaded like strands in the doorway. Do you know what those are called?
I don't know, but I know
I
what you're talking
about. Them.
So they were there. So you were a little hippie.
I guess so, yeah.
You had some of that. Okay.
And I remember that.
What about your sheets? Did they have, was there anything to them or?
Oh gosh, I can't remember.
Comforter, stuffed animal.
Something pink.
Yeah.
No, what a fascinating question. I've never gotten that one before.
Someone asked me that once and they said, it's a window into someone's life. And I remembered that because it shows what mattered, what you valued. Some people had, you know, ornately decorated. Some people had clean as a whistle. Some people had messy and, you know, bunk beds shared with multiple siblings all by myself, whatever. But it does tell you a little bit about how you grew into what you became. So books were your thing.
No, well, I never thought about it before, but now that I'm really looking back on it, it was like my safe haven.
And safe from what? Do you think?
The whole world.
Just from everything.
From the whole world. That was my quiet bubble where I would go inward and come here and here. Yeah.
So when you were reading, because good readers are usually good writers, when you were younger, was writing the thing that the teacher said, oh, okay, everybody, let's read this paper aloud, and this is how it should be done.
No, so that's what's so interesting, which is, just, I think so many writers, you know, have a story where they knew that was the thing from the time they were young and followed that through, and that was just not it for me. But I don't know if you remember this, but when you met my mom, one of the things she had said was, and I forgot about this too until she said it, that when I was really little, I used to tell her over and over again, I felt like I was meant to do something and to help others in some way. And she said that she remembered it because it was odd for a kid, I guess, that age to say something like that.
Yeah.
And I don't remember saying it, but
that's so interesting. It's like thinking of service, like almost being of service at that age.
And that's very young to think that. So not quite. Well, this is funny too. I was a writing major in college and I'm not even kidding you. I avoided taking a creative writing class. I think I had to take one to get.
Why?
Because I thought, I'm not kidding you, Hoda. I thought nobody would be interested in anything I would have to say. I'm not lying to you. Like, I was just so self-conscious. I was like, I have nothing good to say. Like, anything I would write would be terrible. I didn't want to share it. I don't want to show anyone.
Okay, so first of all, that's unbelievable because, you know, those confident people who don't really have any talent, you're like, how are they? Like, because some people have zero talent and tons of confidence and somehow it rises them. So why did you think your work wasn't worthy of being seen at that time?
I think I just assumed I wasn't smart enough or interesting enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it was just kind of regular in a lot of ways. So I thought, you know, what could I possibly write or create that would, you know, be interesting to other people? But no, writing was not I don't know that there was ever a point at which anybody said, oh, like you have a talent or something like that. Not that I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got older, I wanted to work in news or journalism because I really did always love reading, right? Like those were always
those
just your kind of just what I loved.
Mm-hmm.
And as I went on really my own inner journey, I started truly like journaling for my own sake and then kind of sharing my meditations. And then that was what just like caught on fire.
I think when you think of, again, I'm talking to Brianna Wiestin, the book is called The Pivot Year. 365 days to become the person you truly want to be. And I love this book because no matter where you open it, you're finding something new. And there are one-page essays, half-page essays. It doesn't matter what they are, but they're all profound. In fact, I've had other friends at the Today Show because I give this book away. This is my book that I gave this year. And I ordered a ton and was still out. Like when I was done giving them out, I still needed to get more. And they've all said, I keep it by my bedside. And instead of scrolling, I read. And instead of scrolling, yeah. I look at one passage. Have you been able to get any sense of the impact your writing has had? Because I feel it. And all I did was hand it. I didn't write it. I just gave it away.
Yeah, I feel it and I see mm-hmm. it. But I think sometimes it's hard to fully process, you mm-hmm. know, what that means. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so mind-blowing, really. And when I was putting that book together, mm-hmm. I wrote it in that way because over the years, so many people had reached out and said that something they really wanted and enjoyed was doing things a little piece at a time,
mm-hmm.
right? Like an essay a day, or they really enjoyed a post on Instagram or something because they could kind of break it. You know, people are busy. Like they don't always have time to sit down and read a whole
thing.
Right. So they don't have time for that all the time. And so when I sat down, I thought, oh, I think what you're asking for is kind of like a daily devotional kind of a little, basically, you know, did I talk to you about this? That morning meditation is a huge part of my life. Every single day.
What's that routine? Tell me about that.
As soon as I wake up, the first least 10 minutes is in quiet meditation, no phone, no books,
no
journal.
Just walk through. You wake up, do you get out of bed?
Yeah.
Brush your teeth and do stuff and then sit?
I usually get my coffee.
Get your coffee.
I'll go sit in my chair. I'll go outside. And every time I stand up from that, I either know what I need to do that day or I have a new idea. And so many of the things in that book came from little nudges, little glimmers, little insights from that time. And so I kind of unintentionally gave other people that experience, right? To have that like little morning meditation kind of with me. But that's why I wrote it in that way. And it makes me just so happy to hear also people sharing it with one another. I actually have a friend who... his girlfriend was reading The Mountain Is You, and she was, you know, taking notes in the margins. And then he told me that he went through the book and through reading her reactions and thoughts to different parts of the book, he felt like he got to know her at a totally different level.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so this is really like the most like thrilling thing to me to think like, this is something that people use in their relationships and to get to
deepen
know
them.
Right,
yeah.
And to connect. And I think I've actually read a few messages of people saying that like with their partner or whoever they are sharing, you know, before bed or in the morning.
It's so cool. I'm just going to open it randomly because this is that kind of book. It doesn't matter what page you open it to, day 39. I don't even know what day 39 is.
I don't know what day 39 is.
Let's read it. You are here to carve a new way out of the unknown. You are here to defy what's expected and create a new normal, one where you feel inherently free to not see external challenges as absolute dead ends, but to discover the quiet resilience you cultivate as you work your way around them. You are here to nurture the feeling a life most fully lived would give you in your chest, not what you imagine it would appear in someone else's eyes. It's like your own. Can I just do one more random?
Yes.
I am so into this book.
What day is, I don't remember, but there was a piece that you said, not everything you lose is a loss. One of the days starts with that, and that is my favorite day. It's at the beginning.
It's at the beginning. We're going to find it.
It starts with not everything. That's one of my favorite
days. I know that one.
Days.
I know. Look at me.
Not
that's one of my favorites too. I think I have it in my, I think I screen grabbed it. Wait, hold on. Hold on. You know, I'm going to find it. And as I do find it, day 11, day 15, but every single one, I'm like, I like smile when I read them. If you buy this book, and I think you should, I think you will find that each one of those passages like hits you in a way. And by the way, Carson Daly is now screen grabbing and posting. Carson never posts. Okay. You know what he's doing? He's posting the pivot year. Carson Daly, who was just drinking with Blake Shelton the other day, is now posting from the pivot year. all of a sudden, all these people are posting. And then Savannah's like, are you haunting me? Are you reading my mind? She keeps saying that every time I post something. Because Brianna, I think you're reading mine. Did you find it? Of course you did. Gosh. Oh my gosh, day 52. Please read day 52. Not everything you lose is a loss. Some things are freedom. Some things are a second chance. Some things are a miracle in disguise. Some things are a detached, long-needed, a clarity brought to blurry eyes. Some things are an intervention. Some things are the unexpected answer to a long-chanted prayer. Some things are a healing. Some things are a becoming. Some things are planned long before you ever came to be. Some things are a devastation, but others are a kind of vital guidance, the kind of course correction you didn't even know you needed, the kind you did not even realize you were asking for all along. I know you're listening to this right now, if you're listening to this podcast going, oh my gosh, but every day is that day. Still ahead, Brianna opens up about her own journey inward and the messages she hopes to share through her writing when we come back.
Every parent is a busy parent. There's enough on your plate without piling on your kids' homework. And considering how much teaching methods have changed, most of us are a little rusty anyway. Consider IXL, an excellent resource for homework that can make a huge impact on your child's ability to learn. Backed by research, kids using IXL are actually scoring higher on their tests. Our techniques help them master topics in a fun way, complete with positive feedback. We're seeing improvements all across the country, as IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. And IXL is also very affordable. 1 month of IXL costs less than the typical hour of tutoring. On just one website, IXL covers all the kids in your home from pre-K to 12th grade. Sign up today to get 20% off your membership at IXL.com/HODA. That's IXL.com/HODA.
When you talk about an inner journey, people use that word a lot. And I think, I feel like I've been on that too in the last couple of years. But what does that mean to you? Because when some people think sit in meditation, sit quietly, you think, okay, I'm sitting quietly and then I start going through my to-do list. Oh, my kid's soccer, I got that. Meditate. But what did your inner journey entail?
It's so hard to find the words to describe mm-hmm. what the last 10, 13 years have been. And, you know, I know those words at this point are just platitudes, mm-hmm. I think, to most people. But for me, it really does represent something very, very real. Mm. And for me, it was understanding not only the connection between my thought patterns, and my feeling states, and what I was consciously and unconsciously creating mm-hmm. or engaging in, mm-hmm. right? But it was also understanding like the unknown unknowns within myself, things I was influenced by and didn't realize, things I believed and didn't realize, and how strong of an impact that could have on, you know, how I would experience truly any given moment of any given day.
Right.
And tracing those threads back mm-hmm. and not just tracing them, but unpacking them and trying to kind of not just rewire them, but also change the way I told myself the story mm-hmm. about myself and change the way that I told myself the story about my life. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think I've tried to share in the books, which is, can you learn to tell the story differently? So with the passage you just read about, not everything you lose is a loss, you know, in those moments, you know, the relationship ends, you don't get the job, something falls through. These things that you see as the ending, is there a third door of possibility mm-hmm. that you could turn your attention to say, but what if this is actually a beginning? Mm-hmm. It's not to say we don't, you know, grieve when things are sad or you know, override it. We know we sit and we feel it. Mm-hmm. But then once we're done processing that, it's like, well, what if, as Oprah says, failure is life's way of moving me in a different direction?
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
It's funny, I was talking to someone and they were talking about like patterns and what patterns are yours and what patterns are your parents and what you carry on and what do you believe or what were you just, what was drummed in your head when you were a kid? And you're like, I believe that. And you're like, do I really believe that? Or is that just something that was told to me? But one of the things that was pointed out to me was she said, you're someone who carries people. She was right. She said, you carry, you know, your family, you carry your friends, you carry your boyfriend, you carry your kid, you carry your carrier. She said, I want you to write the pros and cons of carrying. And I was like, oh, okay, pros. Well, I'm helping them, I'm guiding them, I'm making it easier for them, blah, 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 blah. And why is it, now write down the cons of carrying. What are the cons? And I was like, oh, sometimes it can get fatiguing, you know, da, da. And later she said, well, I think you need to look at carrying again. Because for you, I think carrying is control. You're controlling them. You're going to, you come with me. I'll take you. It's faster. You won't get hurt. You come my way. Oh, no, I've already been there. You come with me. And she made something clear to me. She said, your job isn't to carry someone. Your job is to stand next to, even your daughter, even your mother, stand next to and walk with. That's their trip and you're on your trip. You're not changing their trip. You think you are because you think you're so strong and you can do it, but you're not changing their trip. You're just there. So it taught me, and this is a window into me now, which, you know, and I've been doing that my whole life. Never thought twice about it. Never even bothered to think of why do I do it? Just that's me. That's how we do in our family, you know? And I think it takes a lot to kind of peel back and look inside. And sometimes it takes an outside person to say, hey, like, that's what it took for me. Did you have outside help or did you do this all kind of internally?
Oh, so much outside help. Mm-hmm. Friends, therapists, mentors.
Yeah.
I mean, all across, all
did
along
the way. Did you seek them? Did you say to yourself, I want to change? Or like, because sometimes it takes something to start looking inside. And I know there are people listening who are probably feeling like, I'd like to feel differently, but I don't know how to start.
Really and truly, I think books and reading was a lot
that
of
was
my
the
like foundation,
yeah.
Especially Tiny Beautiful Things by Cheryl Strait.
Mm-hmm.
That book really just...
How did that change you?
I always say that that book and that author taught me how to think like the most compassionate, empathetic, but grounded an open-minded human being that I always wanted to be. That was really foundational for me.
Say the title again and the author.
Oh, Tiny Beautiful Things by Cheryl Strait. You all have to read it.
Okay.
But I wanted to tell you something funny when you were saying about, you know, how you have to stand beside even your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I have a funny story from so many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a new post-grad, I had a roommate in my apartment and we were moving. And we were packing everything up, right? And I kept saying to her, you know, she's packing up like a cardboard box, like from Home Depot. I said, you have to tape the bottom of the box, right? You can't just like fold it in or it'll fall through. She's like, I've never heard of that before. You don't have to tape a box. I said, no, you really have to tape a box. She's like, no. So we went back and forth on this for a while, right? I said, okay, fine. So I walked away. 10 minutes later, when she had filled the box with all the kitchen stuff, what do I hear but a huge crash of everything on the floor. I come back into the kitchen. She is sitting on the floor laughing until she was crying. But for all of these years, we've used that moment amongst ourselves and to friends. We call that dropping the box.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is understanding that really like loving someone is letting them drop the box sometimes.
Yes,
and to experience
that's so profound.
And feel
yes.
it. So you got to let
that's
them drop the box.
That's it. Oh my God, that's so true. Another thing, it's so funny because you think about all these little life lessons you learn along the way. When we were going to adopt children, Joel, who was my partner at the time, I'd filled out all the paperwork and done all the stuff. And they said it could take a year, it could take 2 years. So, you know, go on with your life kind of thing. I was like, okay. So there was a room upstairs that was going to be the room for the baby whenever that day came. And Joel said, you know, it's going to might be a year or 2 years. So I'm going to use that as my office since I do a lot of work from here. And then when the baby comes, we'll, you know, rejigger. And I stopped him and I said, we can't do that. And he goes, why? And I said, because we have to make room. Like if it's happening, you have to clear space for it. You have to make a spot so that we're ready. By filling every spot, you're not ready. It's like the girl who is whispering on the phone to her ex-boyfriend, wondering why she's not meeting anybody.
Yes.
Well, you don't have any room. It's like, it's such a life lesson that everything is crowded and you can't breathe and you can't figure out why you're not getting anything new in your life.
Do you know that? I believe it's Rumi. I hope I'm not mistaken. Quote, which is, being human is a guest house, each day a new arrival. And by the end, it ends, you know, with, you know, the grief, the devastation. It might be welcome it and greet it at the door laughing because it might be clearing you out for some new delight. That's what it reminds me of. Also, this is unrelated, but it just popped into my head and I needed to tell you this. So I used to have a lot of books in my room when I was a kid, but now I don't really keep my books. Once I'm done with them, I donate them and just let them keep kind of moving on.
Right.
But this is important. I actually have two books at my house that are my like keepsake books that I've, you know, taken with me every move all the time. Mm. One is my signed copy of Tiny Beautiful Things, the book that I referenced before. And the other one is I've Loved You Since Forever. I swear to God, I'm not lying to you. I'm going to take one. I wish I had taken a photo before I left my house because when I go home, I'm going to take a picture and send it to you. So, you know, I'm not lying to you. I thought it was the most beautiful book I had ever, and I was saving it for my future child. I'm not making this up. I'm really not making it. I'm taking a picture and sending it to you when I get home because I'm not making this up. Ugh. I'm really not.
Oh my God.
So I think our love for each other is mutual.
That is so beautiful and touching because we were just talking about my firstborn, which is Haley. And that book was for her. It's so funny about, and it's, oh, that's so touching and beautiful.
I think I found it in Target.
Probably.
And I was,
on,
I think it was
on sale aisle.
No. Oh my God, no. I would think I was shopping for like a baby shower gift and I happened to pick that up and I was flipping through it and I remember crying in the aisle.
God.
And then I didn't give it as a gift. I bought it for myself.
Okay.
And said one day.
Coming up, Brianna shares how she knew she was on the right path and the simple practice she uses to keep things in perspective. Stay with us.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I feel like in life, there are so many kind, beautiful souls. Like to meet you, to read your book, to listen to all the lives you've touched. And I feel like you're like a lot of regular girls who just happen to find the right path. You could be in local news, totally torching your career. You could have been standing in front of a fire that was burning in front of I don't know what. But you found your path. Some people want to know, how do you know when you are on the right path? Like, how did you know?
I think, well, in the moment, I was just following like a strong, intuitive nudge. And I think that I think that our, you know, our callings in life will come to us always like these huge, clear visions. But I don't think they always come that way. Sometimes it's like a very small, oh, I should go there or do that or create that thing, right? It starts so
tiny,
small like that. And then I think a lot of the other times we're like almost alchemizing in a way, right? And I know it's an overused word too, but it's like, you know, this is a question I don't have an answer for. This is a thing I'm going through that I need something, you know, to act as a balm, a salve for my own self. And you, I think you are your own litmus test with a lot of things. Mm. You know, you create, I really, everything that I've written, I wrote for myself. And then I just shared it. But in those moments when I was writing it for myself, the calling that I was following was not, you know, oh, I know that this will become my life and my legacy. It was, in this moment, I know I am moved to do this exact, this very tiny offering to my own life. And then to, and then you share it. And I think, you know, I think part of the thing I'm most grateful for is that I am like regular. And I don't mean that in a, you know,
just like
it. Way at all. I really don't. Like, I think it's a beautiful thing because it's like, that's how everyone feels on the inside. So it resonates at some level. And so what I mean by that is you don't have to wait until you feel like you are someone, you know, deserving of doing something extraordinary. And those little tiny offerings are extraordinary, like in and of themselves, whether they touch, you know, everyone in the world or whether they never leave your room. Mm-hmm. The act of doing that, I think, is what your life is about.
It's interesting. Someone was saying to me one time, say your dream out loud, like even if it's just a whisper in the bathroom mirror to yourself, but to put it out there into the world is something that make something true. And I remember when you talked about having kids one day, which I'm sure you'll be an amazing mother. I can already see that. But I remember walking with a friend of mine before I had adopted Haley and Hope. And she said, oh, well, we never wanted kids. And I was walking and I just said, well, actually, I did want kids. She said, well, you never said that. And I said, well, I said it. I didn't say it because it wasn't to be. I didn't want to say something that was like, oh, I never went to the moon. I mean, it's not happening. So why am I going to say it out loud kind of thing? Okay. And the minute I said it out loud to her, I realized I'd said it. And then all of a sudden, all I could see everywhere I looked were signs pointing that way. I Googled how old was Sandra Bullock when she adopted her. You know, you didn't know. And Sandra Bullock was my age. I'm like, this is weird. Okay. What about this? What about that? And the more I looked, signs just kept coming. It's like the universe said, okay, you said it. Now let's go get it. And I feel like that's kind of how that works. Do you see yourself as a mom? You said your future kids.
I guess. Yeah, hopefully one
you
day.
You do?
They say, saying it out loud, but I've also heard so much about writing it down.
Writing it down, yeah.
Writing it down, I don't know what the metric is, but it's like 10 times more likely to. I don't know what it
when
is.
When you write it down.
Yeah, there's something about writing it down.
Yeah. What else did you write down? You want to be a mom?
Oh gosh. But you know what, you know, when I'm asked like, what are my goals? What, you know what I want? I really mean this, but it's really just to be at peace every day.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a cop-out answer, but.
No, it does not.
Have you ever tried to be at peace every day? Do you know how hard that is?
It's harder than getting some of these other big goals.
I mean it though, just to really be, to feel okay with myself. And then, you know, so much of what inspires choices that I make or things that I write or things that I do is I really always try to envision things from the perspective of my 90-year-old self. Mm. What would I had wish I had done right now? Right? And that just puts so much into perspective. And it's not always the answer that you think it will be.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Yeah.
You know, it really shows you in a broader way what really matters to you. And my peace of mind is truly my top priority.
Think about all the people who have all the things that people think they want. Yeah. Fame or fortune or whatever it is. And look to see why, like we often ask, why is that person unhappy? They have everything. And it's like, it's to your point. It's like, they don't have the thing that they need, which is
100%.
The only thing. Yeah.
They don't have love or connection or family or, you know, to wake up every day and feel okay
and that
with who
peaceful
they are.
Feeling. It's like 100%. If you don't have the warm hand on your heart, then the rest of it is just like
100%.
Yeah. Sprinting 100 miles an hour. What's your nighttime routine? I know your daytime is to start off with a meditation. What do you do before you go lights out?
Oh, I don't really have a routine.
No.
Actually, I should make one.
No, you should not. No, people want to do what you're doing. Are you on your phone or do you watch TV or do you read or?
Depends. Every night's different.
Yeah.
I try to keep the morning really intentional because I feel like It's every which direction. By night.
Yes, by nighttime you're like, give me a break, okay? I'm
by
not doing any mindful stuff.
I actually really mean that. No, sometimes I'll be on my phone. Sometimes I'll answer my messages.
Yeah, just do stuff. Good, you're normal.
But I do
Good.
I like to scroll. Oh gosh, this is terrible.
It's
the truth. Whatever.
You're allowed.
I do.
We all do it.
It helps me just like
decompress.
Sometimes I like to just not think. No thoughts.
So if you had a day that was all for you, this podcast is called Making Space because it's about like clearing out the way. So if you had a day that didn't have an appearance or work to write or any of the stuff and it was for you and you opened your eyes on that particular day and you thought, wow, I get this day for me. How would you fill it?
Oh, I could tell you right away. Yeah. I would wake up.
Yeah, I like it. I'm already in. Yes.
I would.
Later, early. When would you get up?
Early.
Yeah.
Okay. I would wake up. I would have my coffee. I would go outside. I would do my meditation. I would go for a hike.
Oh, I like
that. In Topanga or Malibu.
Mm.
Yeah. I would come home and I would answer messages and do some writing.
Okay.
That really brings me a lot of joy. That's what I would want to do. And then I would go to the grocery store or something and get like food or wine, and I would throw a dinner party. Yes, that's exactly what I would do. I would have my friends over. We would make Aperol spritzes.
Oh, I like it. Sounds like fun. Are you a late party person or do you do an early? Are you like a happy hour person?
I like to start at happy hour, but then I kind of let the night.
Let it linger.
The best memories of my whole life are, you know, late at night with your best friends. It's dark, you know, there's like plates all over.
Yes.
And you're just laughing about the stupidest stuff.
Love it.
The same jokes you've told 10,000 times. The same memories are still funny to me. And then just falling asleep thinking, like, just feeling so, like, warm and loved. And
guys, please get this book. It is called The Pivot Year, 365 Days to Become the Person You Truly Want to Be. It's got great just things you can read each morning, each day, or each evening. And it'll give your day a big boost. Thank you so much. This was so fun. It was just what I thought it would be. Perfect.
I'm so glad.
Making Space with Hoda Kotb is produced by Allison Berger and Alexa Casavecchia, along with Amanda Sidman and Kate Saunders. Our associate audio engineer is Juliana Mastrorilli. Our audio engineers are Bob Mallory and Catherine Anderson. Original music by John Estes. Bryson Barnes is our head of audio production. Missy Dunlop Parsons is our executive producer. Charisse Williams Laredo is our senior producer. Libby Least is the executive vice president of Today and Lifestyle.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.